Dan Wiederer, Bears beat reporter and enterprise writer for the Chicago Tribune.
You're going to be relying on a lot of young players, guys that have to materialize into who they thought they were.
The Bears are who we thought they were.
On-air contributor for 670 The Score.
We'll mention this mainly because Chicago Tribune writer Dan Wiederer said we would mention this nugget.
Co-host of the Take the North podcast.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Dan Wiederer.
Thanks, Coach. We'll go first to Dan Wiederer.
On 670 The Score.
You know that music. That's Dan Wiederer's music. He joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. He is the host of the Take the North podcast with one Mark Rote. He's the Bears reporter for the Tribune, and he is part of our Bears training camp coverage, which on the Score is presented by Chevy Drive Chicago and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Dan, I already see you've got the list of who's talking at Halas Hall. Tell us what's happening today.
Yeah, and it looks like we, based on the setup in the PNC Center, that it will be one at a time, which is always a good thing for reporters to get the productive back and forth. And I think it will start with Ryan Poles, transition to Ben Johnson, and then we get Caleb Williams and Grady Jarrett as the offensive and defensive spokespeople. Should be a fun day here as we get this thing off the ground.
Dan, I'm super curious. What's your first question to Ryan Poles?
Well, there's a few things that I'm curious to get at with him. Number one, he talked a lot since January about resetting and establishing a very sturdy foundation for Caleb going into year two. I want to know some more specifics about what that is. Additionally, I'm curious how he is going to approach this camp differently. We all know that he saw, through his own words, some warning signs of things that weren't going the way he wanted them to go last summer. And I'm just curious how he will change his approach if those types of things pop up on his radar this year and he decides to step in and point them out a little bit more readily. And I'll be interested to hear from him on that front.
That was a big part of it to me, not just after we heard that he had an extension, but also because isn't that part of your job? Isn't it part of your job to step in and oversee and say, if this isn't going the way you want, and you know that that was the result, how are you going to change it this time? What is your job here?
I think management and leadership is very difficult on that front at times. And you sometimes believe in the people that you've empowered to have roles, and you think that they're just going to be able to steer it back on course and be able to get things corrected. And sometimes maybe you give a little bit too much faith and trust in the people that you have in those positions. And I think that was probably a little bit of what happened last year. But look, like they have made no bones about it. They expect to be a good football team this year. They expect to win and win now. Those were the words of the head coach when he took the job in January. And so I think that urgency needs to be present every single day we're out here, starting today with whatever they do in meetings. And then obviously we get on the practice field for the first time in a kind of ramp up session tomorrow morning. They've got to have that sense of we got to go and we got to go now.
What's beautiful about this time of year, as we are joined by Dan Wiederer to talk about the opening of training camp for the Bears, the beat writer for the Chicago Tribune, is that you have so many different storylines to choose from when you talk about players, whether it's new players, old players, players coming back, players who are mysteriously on a list of non-football injuries. Where do you start here, and what is the most intriguing of those issues for you?
In terms of the guys that we're not sure about
right
now? Well, obviously, Jalen, I want clarity there as quickly as someone can provide it on what's going on there and how long he may potentially be out from the mix here. I think Braxton Jones's status is obviously one we're going to be keeping close watch on. If he starts the camp on PUP, how quickly can he get off? If he's not on PUP, how quickly can he practice at full strength? We all know how important it is to identify who you want to be your starter at left tackle going into the regular season as soon as possible. That's going to be under the radar for sure. And then obviously with some of the new guys, you're just, I think Colson Loveland's a guy that you have to have eyes on because we didn't get to see him do anything during the spring. And this is a top 10 pick, and top 10 picks are supposed to be immediate difference makers for your program. And so you want to feel like there's a program set up to get Colson ready to make an impact when they play their first regular season game on a Monday night in September, which it feels like it's a long way off, but it sure is not when you start counting it down.
Given how much we've heard, Dan, about Keeks Keenum, do we think that it's worth asking a question when it comes to why he was initially on that NFI list, but now he's not?
I think we can get to that. I don't know if that's a today question, just because I think there's some bigger front burner issues to kind of work through. The fact that he's off is, I think, a good sign. And then as this week goes on, we'll get a little bit more clarity on some of those things. But that's another one where you do know that the Bears are challenging Tyson Bagent to win the QB2 job, and Case Keenum is there to do that. As much as he's been brought in to be a guide and a compass for Caleb Williams, he's here to compete too. And so his status out here in the practice sessions and how they divvy up those second team reps is going to be interesting as well.
Dan, when you're looking at the quarterback, the starting quarterback, Caleb Williams, mm-hmm. could there be any more pressure on this young man? I mean, number one overall pick. We saw what happened his rookie season with what I'll call an inept coaching staff. But it seems like Ben Johnson being in place means that if something does not happen, develop, goes wrong, it's going to be all eyes on Caleb Williams as far as that offense is concerned.
Yeah, and I think how they would frame it here within the building is that there's opportunity here. And any pressure that you feel is a byproduct of the opportunity that you have to do something that hasn't been done here, which is to be a legitimate franchise quarterback that takes this team on a sustained run of success. And when you've heard Ben and Caleb sort of talk about their collective opportunity here to change the history, I think that excites you, right? And it steers you away from feeling kind of the weight of expectation that's on you. But that weight of expectation is certainly here. And you guys know how the micro analysis of this football team will go over the next 6.5 weeks of practice. There will be days where there will be viral highlights where people will be proclaiming that his arrival is here and it is permanent. And then there will be days where it's really sloppy and the defense is winning and the defense is telling the offense how much they're winning. And it's going to be like, oh God, can Chicago handle another one of these roller coaster rides? And so I think Caleb has got to be very, very present. Just where he is each day and understanding that he's going to be pushed by a coaching staff that's trying to get the most out of him with goals that he has vocalized for himself to be the guy that brings a Super Bowl championship back to this building. And so I think you just got to kind of take it day by day and then get into the regular season and see where you're at once you start playing those games.
This segment with Bears Tribune beat writer Dan Wiederer is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. I feel like in years past, we may have had more questions about bigger name players aside from like the one being Jalen Johnson when it comes to the NFI list. I know there's three total, but when you consider how the Bears are coming in here, knowing that, yes, we got to figure out what's going on with Colson Loveland's shoulder. We do have to figure out what's going on with Luther Burden's soft tissue injury.
Yep.
But other than that, how do you feel like the Bears have at least set themselves up for this training camp compared to last season and the one before?
Well, look, like you've got to navigate the early stages of camp. I remember being asked a question about 6 to 8 days into camp last year about how good of a sign it was that Nate Davis had been at every practice to that point. That looked like there's a long, long road to go before you start to feel good about things like that, you know. And so, whatever good feelings you're having on day one when you walk into the building, they have to be pretty good as well when you walk in here 2 weeks from now and the grind of camp starts to escalate and some of those injuries start to pop up. You've got to be able to navigate that. And I think, you know, look, this is Ben's first time as a head coach at any level. He's going to have to figure out how to navigate that, when to put his foot on the gas, when to hit the brake pedal a little bit, when to, kind of read the team and through his leaders get communication on what they need and what they don't need at certain times during camp. And so that's going to be a new challenge for a guy that has a lot of credentials as an offensive play caller, but now is kind of doing this head coaching thing for the first time and will be kind of learning on the fly in that regard.
I remember the Matt Nagy press conference where he talked about how players tested him and he had to bring out the dark side. And this was the good times. This was the 2018 season when he was in his first year as head coach with the Bears. Do you remember that?
The dark side stuff that he brought up was coming out of London in 2019. That was when that season was kind of wiggling on that tightrope up there. And I think he understood that, oh man, we are at a place that we didn't foresee ourselves being. What I remember from Matt's first camp is it was all rainbows and sunshine, because this guy came in with the energy that he had. He won his team over during that camp with the energy he had. They got Khalil Mack on Labor Day weekend and got more energy. And then that season was the anomaly for me during my time on the beat, where literally there was not a lot that went wrong for that team that year. And so that one's different. 2018 is different. And you're hopeful that the Bears can find a road back to those types of days sometime soon. And maybe Ben brings a similar energy in year one here that gets that thing started in the right way.
And you're right. Yeah, I remember it was 2019 now. I did not go to London, so I didn't have that marker. But yeah. I do remember him talking about that and going, I bet that happens obviously with not just him. So at some point, I wonder how somebody's going to try to test Ben Johnson and if that kind of discussion ends up taking place at some point.
Well, and look, like the biggest thing I've learned about Ben since January is how competitively intense he is. And it's present at all times. And everyone that you've talked to that spent any time around him, either in this building or previously, tells you the same thing, that edge is very real and it's very sharp. And now you have to figure out how to make that work with the group you're with now. And I think to this point, he's done a good job of it. Training camp's a different beast than OTAs and minicamp. You know, there's a lot of things that happen in a camp where fatigue sets in, where emotions get high. You're going to bring in two opponents here in a few weeks to do some joint practices. So, you know, that edge is going to be fun to watch. I think we're in for entertainment. Wherever this season goes, I think it's going to be a very fascinating and entertaining season to chronicle. And so I'm geared up today. There's a little bit of juice in the air for sure.
Okay, Dan, I'm going to bring you down maybe a little bit, or maybe not. Dan Weeder.
Don't do it, Marshall. Don't do it.
No, Bears beat writer for the Chicago Tribune. Since you're already kind of have that vibe going, do me a favor. Help keep me from having that banana in the tailpipe energy that I'm trying to avoid having heading into a camp, understanding everyone's going to be saying all the right things on day one.
Oh, yeah.
Give me reasons to be positive that are not overly optimistic.
So I had a conversation with Jeff Wyrus from Fox 32 on the walk-in from the parking lot this morning about just like, I think there's a lesson in last season, right? There's a lesson in the camp. There's a lesson in the Hard Knocks hype. There's a lesson in feeling the way we felt about this team at 4-2. You know, and going into their bye week and being like, well, there's some legitimate stuff here. And the lesson for me is to just take a deep breath every day and filter out what feels meaningful from what feels like August hype, you know? And I think that's going to take a really thorough process every day to do that, especially in this era where every practice is covered like it's the Super Bowl now, right? Like this isn't 20 years ago where you could keep things in the proper context and in the proper frame for the masses. And now you just got to go each day and try to see signs of legitimate progress. And that's one of the questions I have at the top of my list for Ben today is what for you in a camp like this qualifies as legitimate progress? What are the signs for you that you need to see as we get towards, you know, the regular season that tell you that you've got this thing going in the right direction? And so it's a long-winded answer, Marshall, to a question that I think is let's just talk week by week and we'll filter through it together.
I like that attitude. I can appreciate that, but I'm just telling you, I'm not trying to be cynical. I'm just trying to be pragmatic in my approach.
And you should
the Bears
be. And they've earned that, right? And that, like that's the thing. And that's why there's no reason that the hype train should leave the station during the summer. It just shouldn't, because we've seen that train go off the tracks and careen into to the deep waters beneath it many times here. And so I think you just have to be ready to kind of go on the ride with this team and understand, I've said for a while, this schedule is very difficult. You know, for me, a legitimate bullseye for this team is to be, you know, around 500 into December and then see if you can get hot at the right time. Keep yourself in playoff contention until the last snap of the season is taken and see where you land at the end. And if you do that with obvious signs of direction for the quarterback, you should feel pretty good, even though the patience level in this town is longing for something much greater than, you know, say eight and nine, whatever it may be at that time of year.
The Nate Davis symbol was really all you needed.
Yeah,
to do.
That was a great story.
That's one that we should not and will not forget. Dan Weederer, have a great first day of Bears training camp. Thanks for joining us here on Raheem and Harris on 670 The Score.
Thanks, Dan.
Absolutely. We'll talk soon, guys.
That was Dan Weederer, the Bears beat reporter. He hosts the Take the North podcast, which you can get right here on the Odyssey app.